Alright, 1 Corinthians 15. Home stretch. I trust this is going to help you go back and read the four Gospels again. Right? So they are not story books. Or is it comic? You are just flying. Go Jesus, go Jesus, go. Alright, verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. In other words, he says how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, how he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and again he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, and of the 12. And we said that this locates three portions of scriptures together, the Old Testament writings, which is according to the scriptures, that is Genesis to Malachi, and then the account of the four Gospels, and Paul, when we walk it together, he walked both the four Gospels and the Old Testament together. In chapter 11 and verse 23, Paul writes and says, "For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." So that means we have a sync, S-Y-N-C, of the four Gospels accounts and the Old Testament writings in Paul's Gospel. So we have been looking at Mark, the first gospel, which we have said is Peter's account from historical arrangements, and so on and so forth. So Mark 13, as we is the shortest gospel, just 16 chapters. Yeah. You can see that it's very small. Okay, Mark 13. So we said the way to understand Jesus' locations in teachings were very important. That's why he would point, look at this, look at that. And so by saying all of this in Jerusalem, you see that he is therefore going to start speaking parts of the Old Testament that you may become uncomfortable with, that deal with judgment. That this is now a judgment that has to do with his sufferings. Now, before we get to this point, if he is Jehovah, and I'm supposed to read this as an account of the Old Testament, that means I must read Jehovah in the Old Testament as suffering and as rejected, misidentified, or not identified properly. So we're going to see the fruit of it. So the fruit of that is judgment. So those that say that Jesus never preached judgment, you can see that they are not correct. Jesus did. In fact, the coming of Christ himself is judgment. So coming with the gospel is also the judgment of sinners. Sinners in this instance will be those who rebel against the saving power of Yahweh, that is God. And so we have read chapter 1 through to chapter 5 through to 6. We have now come to the crucial time from the temple where he talks about the mountain being removed, the fig tree. He speaks about his death and so on and so forth. From the Mark 8, we see that anticlimax narration where he goes popular, he does the miracles. Then the miracles, as soon as he gets to Jerusalem, starts to reduce. It seems as though that the miracles we saw from Mark 11 through to now are more pronounced as judgment when he spoke to the fig tree and he spoke about the mountain. Is it making sense? Come on, is it making sense? Though it's the same place where he was heralded as blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, we thought that he had been he that will redeem Israel and so on and so forth. So verse 1 chapter 13, as he went out of the temple, one of the disciples now said unto him, look at the significance. He leaves the temple and says, "Master, what manner of stones and buildings are there?" Then he says, "See thou these great buildings, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." If you miss this opening statement, every other thing might be misread. So he says, as he began, he sat on Mount Olives over against the temple. Peter, James, and John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when shall these things be?" In other words, the opening statement here is, this temple will be what? Destroyed. Has he said it also in 11 before? Yes. He had implied it in 12, and John 2 clears 4. So this is now, you see this in Matthew 24 and 25, this temple will be destroyed. So what are these signs of these things will fulfill? Take it, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I'm Christ, and shall deceive many. When you shall hear wars and rumors of war, be not troubled, for such things must need be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles, the beginning of sorrows. But take it to yourself, for they shall deliver you up to councils, to synagogues. So you can see that he's talking to them directly, and he's referring to what will happen for the temple to be destroyed. You shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them, and the gospel must be published among all nations. And when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you to premeditate. For what shall be given to you in that hour, as shall you speak, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Verse 12. Now the brother shall be betrayed brother to death, and the father the son, children shall rise up against their parents, and it shall cause them to be put to death. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. But when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let him that read understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. So you can see what he's talking about is in a location. And let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter in to take anything out of his house. Let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garments. And woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, and pray ye that your flight should not be in the winter. That's not talking about flying Emirates, too. For in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. Except the Lord shall shorten those days, no flesh shall be saved. But for the elect's sake whom he had chosen, he shall shorten the days. And then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or who he is there, believe him not. For false Christ and false prophets shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, as it were possible, even the elect. And take heed there, behold, I have foretold you all these things. But in those days after tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and they shall gather together as he left from the four winds, to the uttermost part of the earth, to the uttermost part of the heaven. So you can see he has moved from one event to another event in the future. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. Can you go back to the fig tree again, Mark 11? Are you there? When a branch is yet tender and puts forth this leaf, you know that summer is near. So ye in the like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But that day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels who are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take it, watch, and pray, for you know not when the time is come. The time is. For the Son of Man is as a man that takes a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he finds you sleeping. And I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. I say to you, I say to all, pay attention. Jesus has used two different events. One will happen in Jerusalem. Another one all over the world. So, now, this is where the famous rapture story is always saying. We're going to look at Matthew, and you see that many of those things were misread. You know, to assume what he hasn't said. Now, the first thing is that Jesus is standing as a prophet here, and is prophesying of a definite event that happened. And all historians agree that the temple was brought down AD 70, where the temple was brought down. So, and it was brought down at, again, what you can call the scattering of Jerusalem. A lot of wars happened, a lot of things happened, people were killed, and so on and so forth. And it was not until 1948 where the nation of Israel came back together and been scattered across the earth. Now people have misread that to mean that Jesus' term for elect had to do with Israel. Now if you understand what he had been saying earlier, he has said that no man will eat of that fig tree forever. Do you get it? And then he says this house shall be house of what? All nations. Are you following this? So he had already explained the true Israel of God in all he said before this point. And the true Israel of God will be that nation or those nations found in the temple that is in the new creation. He had said that before he got to this point. And so the first thing that is going to happen, a sign of the resurrection of Jesus himself, is the physical destruction of the temple. Until today, you know, the record of Israel, usually they will have, within the temple they had the Ark of Covenant, and more critically was that they had the genealogy, they had the tribes, the records and all that. It is non-existent again. And so, trying to build the temple now, it's just a waste of time, because they can't have what they had in the old temple anymore. But the prophets, both Haggai, Habakkuk, and all prophesied, Ezra, they are prophesied of this temple that Jesus is talking about here. So there will be a taking away of the first one, and the writer of Hebrews, having foreseen that, says this one will be taken away, and then another one established. And for them to see the sign that it has happened, they saw that there was a physical destruction of the temple. Now, notice something. He says that they should flee when they hear of this destruction. So that is not the coming of the Son of Man. That is destruction. Man made. Then it talks about the coming of the Son of Man. So in other words, there is a physical event that he prophesies, and there is, as it were, a spiritual event. So oftentimes a wrong understanding and wrong interpretation have come out of it, and people have, you know, in fact Matthew's account is that one shall be left behind, one shall be taken away, so it means that one will disappear. No, it is captured. Do you understand? He's talking about an invasion. Who has watched Invasion USA before? I think that's Chuck Norris. Is Chuck Norris? I know you will know. Invasion USA. Okay. Welcome. So that is Invasion US, Invasion Jerusalem. So Jesus therefore is prophesying here about definite events, and they came to pass. Then he talks about the gospel, verse 10, will be preached among all nations. Notice that he talks about all nations, then talks about Judea. So the destruction of the physical temple is a sign that the gospel will be preached in all of the nations. My house shall be called the house of prayer for all nations. Isaiah 56 verse 7, Mark 11, 17, for all nations. Don't forget the stone that the builders rejected, remember, has become the head of the corner. So there's a physical temple that will come down as a sign that God, alright, has judged unbelief. In other words, he withdraws, as it were, his power, or his power is not absent, and you find men being self-destruct. Because whatever we read here was caused by human agents, and they were not by the Holy Ghost. Rather, he says it's the Holy Ghost that will give you what to say when they persecute you. So within this prophecy again comes a distinction that we have to make in the Old Testament about God. Then he says in 14, where he reads Daniel 7:27, you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken again, by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not. Let him that reads understand, and let them that be in Judea flee to the mountain. That is, run away from what is the destruction is referring to here will happen where? In Judea. So it will now be a sign of something else. That the gospel we preach where? Do you understand it? Uh-huh. So that's why I said no, that people are saying signs of the end. If it's the signs of the end, why did you tell them to run? Where are you running to if it's the end? There's nowhere to run to if it's the end. Then where are you going? Just say, just wait. Just wait. Let everything just happen. That was. Letting on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter to taking anything out of his house. You know. And letting that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garments. For woe to him that is with the child to them that, and he gives all that. In those days shall affliction as well from the beginning of creation, which God created into this time, neither shall be. And it's actually the worst attack on Jerusalem ever. And so, except the Lord that shorten those days, no flesh shall be saved. For the Lord's sake, whom has chosen you, shorten it then. Lo, if any man say to you, here is Christ, believe him not. In other words, that will also be a sign, okay, like we said, of the gospel going around, and also false Christ. Then he says, take heed, for false Christ shall, false prophet shall arise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if possible, even the elect. And don't forget, the elect is not Israel, okay? The elect are believers. Because it said all nations. Are you following the reading? So, take it behold, I foretold you, in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in the heaven shall be shaken. Because these are figurative. Then shall you see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, and then shall he send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn the parable. Of course, if you see John 5, it says at the very end, then they shall hear the voice of the Son of Man, then those who are dead, you get it. So that means the high point of what he's saying is the resurrection, which is the earth will give way eventually, the whole earth will give way and give up what we can call at this point the new creation and their bodies in the earth. So it says, now let the parable fix. It says, the branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves. You know that the summer is near. And in like manner, when you see these things come to pass, know that it is near even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall not pass, but my words shall pass, but my words shall not pass away. But the day of the hour cometh no man, knoweth no man, know not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take heed and watch and pray. And for you know not what when the time is for the Son of Man, that is the persecution, if you can come suddenly. It says, as a man take a far journey to wood, he left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. Watch you therefore, for you know not when the master of the house comes, at even at the midnight or at cockcrowing or in the morning. So in other words, there will be persecution at the rising of this new temple. People will be persecuted, and there will be a whole lot of tribulation against those who are his servants in the earth. But just you have to hold on. Because if we follow Jesus, it means that we are going to bear, as his own servants, the very marks of the kingdom. We have seen the anti-climax nature of the kingdom of God, and he's saying this is going to happen. So you have to watch, and also you have to pray. So let's see a few things. Of course, verse 19 has Daniel 11. Some of the things we're going to look at when I'm being careful of going to details of this because I want to read it with the mark. John is the only one that says nothing about this. Absolutely nothing. What John, about this particular prophecy, what John stays with John 2. The story Templar 3 are raised again. And in John 16, when it says they will kill you thinking they are doing justice to God, that is, it doesn't say go into all these details. And so John will help us read them together. But we'll read the Mark, Matthew, and Luke account of this. I'm just touching the fringes of it. But let's see a few vital things. He speaks about a resurrection from the dead, which is in Daniel 12 and 2. So coming with the kingdom of the Son of Man is also destruction. Of many of them, watch this, Daniel 12 and 2, that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Can you see what he's talking about? So Daniel talks about the kingdom of the Son, which will come, destruction of the temple, a new temple, destruction of Jerusalem, then false Christ, then the very end. The very end is the whole earth, just like the temple has come down, will also come to an end. Then the dust will give out those who are saved and those who are not saved unto everlasting destruction. We'll see all of that, you know, in whatever context. So let's put a few things home here. The fall of the temple, therefore, and the destruction of Jerusalem vindicates Jesus. What does it mean? Now, if they ask you, what was the experience of Jesus in Jerusalem, what would you say? He was rejected. And when he was rejected, a sign of that is the invasion and destruction of Jerusalem. Unbelief, therefore, is man-made, and the wrath that comes with it is man-made. So he stands, therefore, in Mark 13 as the prophet and representative servant of Israel. Remember, he's saying this around the temple. So Mark 11 is now fulfilled. The fig tree has no fruit to bear. The temple is destroyed. His body is raised. John 2:19-22. So in verse 19 again, when he says, those days the affliction, he says, which God created, and said, neither shall be. Joel 2:2. Joel says, a day of darkness, a day of gloomness, a day of clouds, and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong that never been over like, neither shall any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Again, this is an invasion of Jerusalem. Of course, don't forget that afterward, when they are restored, I pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and so on and so on and so forth, in Joel chapter 2. So this is the fulfillment of it. In verse 20, when he mentions that, that except the Lord has shortened those days, no flesh shall be saved, but for the elect's sake whom he has chosen, he has shortened the days. Daniel 12, verse 11 and 12 also gives us a hint. Like I said, I just want us to hold fire till we get to the other accounts. Daniel 12. From the time that the daily sacrifice was taken away and the abomination was taken of desolate, shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waits and comes to 1,305 days. Then verse 13, but go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in the Lord at the end of days. So Daniel talks about the kingdom of God, found in Jesus, the Son of Man, and also the destruction of Jerusalem. All of them will be studied with the other accounts. So we read on and on verse 24. So what we have found Jesus do is to combine two events. The destruction of Jerusalem, which eventually is a sign of the destruction of an unbelieving world. But the saint of God will fulfill what Paul will now write. Who shall bring any charge of God's elect? He says, what shall separate us from the love of God? These are, we can call it apocalyptic prophecies, things that are going to happen at the end. It says, God be for us, who will be against us? In other words, there's a spirit in the born again man where he's adopted, is an spirit of adoption that therefore makes him an heir of the inheritance of Jesus. We've done the study of Romans 8 before, so you can go back and see. So we can see that therefore wrath and the judgment is man-made. It's man-made. And so in verse 27, when he talks about the elect, you can read Isaiah 43 verse 5, Isaiah 49 verse 5, Isaiah 56 verse 8. If you read Isaiah very well, you discover that the elect are those who are believers. Isaiah 43 verse 5, fear not, I'm with thee, I'll bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I'll say to not give up, and to the south, keep not back, bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth. You see again, the elect is not Israel. The elect are those who are believers. Isaiah 49 verse 5, Isaiah 56 and verse 8. So the fig tree again, Mark 13, takes us back to Mark 11 and Mark 12. Are you there? Are you there? So when it says, no man eat of thee forever, it's obviously speaking about, call it a dead religion, call it man-made worship, man-made tradition, call it the old temple, you will be right. Now critically, verse 30, this generation shall not pass till all things be done. Usually the Jews count generations from 40 to 50 years, and definitely someone like John and some of the other apostles saw exactly what he was saying. Many of them were killed. Are you there? Are you there? So by their death, he was showing that this will come to pass. And Jerusalem invaded. So in verse 31, when it says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but not what I'm saying to you. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, and so on and so forth. So definitely, we must make a distinction between what will happen in Judea and what will happen all over the world. The one in Judea was timed. This generation, many of you will see it. It happened AD 70, that is just about 40 years after this statement was made. And some of the apostles, John was the one that historically was remaining after that. And he also went to the islands of Patmos, where it was said that he was eventually maybe dropped in very maybe a hot liquid or something like that. I'm not one to start studying that. So Mark 14 will now be, these are the very last days. Okay? After 2 days. So what we have been reading so far is within a week. Okay? After 2 days. Just let's maybe see. Mark 11. When they came near to Jerusalem, to Bethany, I wanted to show you the sequence of the movement. When he went to Jerusalem. Anyway, within a week, you know, all this is. Mark 14, verse 1. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover, and the unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, no, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. She broke the box and poured it on his head. And there was some that had indignation within themselves. Ah, what was this waste of this ointment made? For it might have been sold far more than 300 pence, or been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. You know, very ridiculous. Because of Mark 12. Is it 12? You can see that these are hypocrites. Mark 13. You know, they say, ah, but you just told us about a widow now. Why is this woman? Is this one a widow? Given to the poor. There is a letter alone. Why trouble ye her? She had wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always. Deuteronomy 15 verse 11. And whensoever you do them good. But me, you don't have always. She had done that which she should. She's come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Okay? Verily I say unto you, wherever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also as she had done shall be spoken of for by memorial. I think that this is one of the reasons why this story was included. So, and we are saying it again. Okay. So the narrative here therefore means that we, by mentioning now, these are the closing moments, and I think for me it's the most sober moment. You are coming to a place where he now mentions the unleavened bread, the Passover. He wants you to go back and read Exodus again. That is the essence of this story. And then by talking about his burial, that means it's about his death. And in the background you have Jeremiah 31, 33, 35, a new covenant. Okay, you also have that at the back of your mind. That is, what you have read there is being fulfilled. So verse 10, let's just say a few details here and there. The woman, what the woman did, 300 pence, is historically, as we said, is a year wages of a laborer. I mean, your salary for 1 year, just put it on somebody that was going to die. Not to spend, to spray on the burial. Yeah, Nigerian, that is clear to you. Verse 11, sorry, verse 10, and Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went into the chief priest to betray him unto them. I believe that a whole lot is being said about Judas, that you have to get it. Betrayer simply means to betray. And there's no way betrayer can be of God. If you say the link between the evil in the heart of the chief priest and the death of Jesus, you say it's somebody in the house. Is it clear? There's some people, when you start talking about betrayal, they start becoming uncomfortable. Why? Are you a Judas? Why are you uncomfortable? You know, and it's, I've known him. Who are you looking for? Jesus. I know him. Very well. You know, I don't think he just went, I want to betray him. You know, somehow it was just reduced into a simple words. But the event of it, so sometimes even criticizing why Judas killed himself, we might be unfair at times, because, I mean, it's a high point of the fact that he betrayed someone that now died. You know, that's not really something he couldn't live with himself. As someone said, he should have just boned, you know, someone says, just bone and believe the gospel and move on. I don't think I can read my own Bible like that. It's just bone. No, betrayal is betrayal now. Just move on. After all, Christ died for the betrayal. No! He said it would have been better if he was not born. Don't you get that? You didn't read that portion. Let's go on. So by mentioning the unleavened bread and the Passover, he wants you to go back and reread it. Don't forget, he has told us, take it what you hear that you hear. The measure of thought and study you give to what you hear is the virtue that comes back to you. In other words, you have a duty and a responsibility to read it again. So, I think I misread something. The first one I mentioned was Mark, wasn't Mark's house. This is the one that relates to Mark, not the first one. I take that back. I must have been very fast to say that. Okay, look at verse 11. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And they thought how we might conveniently betray him. Okay? And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, the disciples said unto him, where would thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? Then he sends them two of his disciples, significantly again, two, right? Okay? Go into the city, and there shall meet a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him, and whosoever he shall say, go in, say to him, the good man of the house, the master said, where is the guest chamber where I will eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room. Obviously, this is a rich man's house. Furnished and prepared, there make ready for us. Now, why did he say that? Because he was famous. Alright? People had already put clothes on the road for him. Blessed is he. So he said, go and tell them, I need a place. Disciples went forth and came to the city and found us sent to him, and they made ready the Passover. You know, I think we need to get this. Passover is an animal. That means they killed a lamb. So your mind goes to John, right? John 1:29. Is that clear? Oh, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. Then Exodus 12, the Passover means death is passed over. It means judgment is passed over. So on and so forth. That means an Exodus is about to happen. Alright? Can you see it? An Exodus is about to happen. The evening he comes to the 12 and he said, verily I say unto one of you which eats with me shall betray me. He began to show and say to one another, is it I? And I say, is it I? So why are they asking this question? Tendency. Because there's something you shouldn't ask yourself, is it I? So, he answered, it is one of the 12 that deals with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes. Son of Man is Daniel, right? Okay. As is written of him, but woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for the man if he had never been born. I don't know about you. If God says, you should never be born. Of course, two things that means. God is not the one who details who is born. So why were you born? It would have been better if he was not born. You get it? Those words for me weigh heavily. Like I was telling someone, I said, if the Bible says that, you know, that you shall have much sorrow when your works burn, do you know that you are going to really sorrow? I said, if you believe that the spiritual realities are more real, and natural crying itself is burden. If you are to cry spiritually, let me stop there. Before he's asking, what's Pastor talking about? Are we going to hell? Why are you afraid? They say if you do this, you go to hell. Say, but why? Are you going to do it? Why are you uncomfortable? Why are you uncomfortable in my hell or hellfire? Anyway, so he says it would have been better if this man was not born. Of course, we see that. Let's go back to something critical. The Passover is supposed to be a meal of what? union, unity, right? Oneness. So if there's betrayal on the Passover table, it has a consequence, it's heavy. It means it's deception. So, I don't want us to do this yet, but let's just glimpse at 1 Corinthians 11, where you sit at meat with someone that you do not discern. You don't see the person as one and the same with you. And they say, the night in which he was betrayed. And he says, this is the reason why some are sick. Are you there? I don't want to go into here, but some also die. So the event he talks about, who died? Jesus. So you cannot take away what Judas did from the death of Jesus. So he's telling them in Corinth that, you know what? That attitude you have is why some die. Do you understand? Because we know to sit at table means that we are together, right? So if you sit at table with someone, you are acting as a friend. If you come to a local church with people and you are lifting up your hands, you are saying, oh, praise God, you know, that is a feast, okay? Come on. That's the feast of the unleavened bread. That is for us the Passover. And then he says, now you are not discerning the Lord's body. He says, judge yourself. So you are not judged with the world. So we don't see you as an unsaved man. This is why some are sick, some are weak, and some even die. So there's a whole lot that table represents. For it to be Passover, which is ate as a family, and the unleavened bread, we mustn't have corruption, and then somebody at that table is a betrayer. Is it making sense? So the Lord Jesus, so when Paul says in the night he was betrayed, everybody knew the story, but he now relates it to selfishness in Corinth. That means you are eating damnation to yourself. Who ate damnation to himself? Huh? Judas. Thank you. So, here we are. It says, woe to the man. No, sorry. It is one of the 12. Okay? So, it says, take, eat. He took bread, verse 22, blessed, broke it, and gave it to them, and said, take, eat, this is my body, it's broken for you. Look at Psalm 41, verse 9. There is a better reading, one of the epistles, one of the other synoptics, Psalm 41, verse 9. You know, that sufferings of Christ is found in the life of David. Let's take it together. Psalm 41, verse 9. Yea, my own familiar friend. Are you there? In whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, and lifted up his heel against me. But thou wilt not be merciful unto me, and raise me up that I may reconcile them. Do you see it? So this is what Judas fulfilled. So what is going on here is that the essence of table fellowship is defeated. There is betrayal in the midst. Then he says here, as he did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. So why did he say it's better for the fellow not to have been born? Go to Job 3, verse 3 to 26, precisely Job 3, 11. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Jeremiah 20 verse 14 to 18 also has that figural understanding. So now comes the high point, one of the high points of Mark. By sitting at the table, if you have been reading this before, then he takes a physical substance and says, take, eat, this is my body, broken for you. In other words, is asking you to go back and reread the Passover. Reread all the emblemic, and symbolic things of the Old Testament. He took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it and they drank it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament. Which is, you know, there was no Old Testament. Are you following this? There was a New Testament prophesied in Jeremiah 31, 35. Say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine unto the day that I drink it with new in the kingdom of God. Now a bit of some technicalities. There were usually four cups. Four cups that represent Exodus 6. I will redeem them. I will sanctify them. Bring them to myself. Take them to the land. Four things were said. It is believed that the fourth cup is what he picked. Because the fourth cup is the one that dealt with the land, which typifies what you call today the new creation. So it's believed that it's the fourth cup that he took. You know, on that table we had, they had the lamb, after they had eaten the Passover and the Paschal, they now went to the unleavened bread. So there are a lot of things on the table, but practically, everything was about Jesus. All his experiences, the bitter herbs, the sufferings and rejection that he has. So if we sit at the table with Jesus, it therefore means we shall be rejected on his behalf. And therefore, with one another also, we share our sufferings together. Are you following what I'm saying? So the table there, today we don't use physical elements. Now is when we come together. Are you there? We are sitting at the table celebrating the Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And so it says, I will not drink it with you until it is new in the kingdom. A few texts there, Amos 9:13. So when you read, which is important here, when you read the Old Testament, and you see the context of the things that were said, Amos 9:13, the days come, the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him that sows seed, and the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and the hills shall melt. New creation. Mark 14 again. And then when they are sung and hymned, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Of course, I'll give you a background of that. There's something I've not said. Background of that is that oftentimes when they finish the Passover, they sing, after I said that, Psalm 113 to 18, they call it the Alil, where they celebrate the Passover. But don't forget, in the minds of the Jews, they're expecting a new Exodus. So every time they were eating the Passover, they are waiting for what? Okay, so pay attention. So now that we don't use physical elements, when we come together and we celebrate with one another, we are also expecting what? Are you there? Okay, we are in another way expecting the gathering of saints from all over the world. Are you there? Which is at the very end of the age. That's why it says, as much as you see the day approaching, do not neglect the gathering of one another as the manner of some is. Hebrews 10:24-25. So, in our verse 27 here, all that shall be offended because of me this night, it is written, I shall smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. A bit an extant text, Zechariah 13:7. And after that I am risen, I will go before you unto Galilee. Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, this guy, yet will not I. Of course, when you have been told that you are the rock, it's not my portion. So he says, this I say unto you, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Then he spoke the more vehemently. If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee. In any wise, likewise also said they all. That means they all repeated him, you know, if you can say it, we can say it too. They came to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. It takes within Peter, James, and John, and began to so amaze and to be very heavy. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. Can you see the anticlimax? Solemn moment. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if possible the hour might pass from him. 36. Abba Father, Aramaic, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not that I will, but you will. And he comes and finds them sleeping. Simon, sleepest thou? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them sleeping again, for their eyes were heavy. Now, this is about 11 p.m. The reason for this is that, let me explain. You know, on the Passover, everybody actually stood at that night. When the children of Israel, as well, Egypt lost their firstborns, you know, Israel was awake. So there's a practice where they stay. And what we call the vigils today were actually Passover ceremonies. They wait till 10, 11, sometimes till 1 p.m., 1 a.m. So, when is that? Why can't you watch? That means, customarily, you should not be sleeping. Do you understand? But this guy, both the symbolic and the literal, they were just sleeping. Of course, he took them to a place that is very different. He takes them to a desert place. Then he says, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed to the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. He that betrays me is at hand. Now, obviously, in Jesus praying here, and he's talking about the cup. Look at Psalm 116. That's called the cup of wrath. And the cup of wrath is man-made. Psalm 116. Verse 3. Let's start from verse. Yeah. The sorrows of death compass me. The pains of hell cut hope for me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the Lord. Lord, I beseech you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple and I brought low. And help me return to thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. You know, you can read on and on. And basically, you know that upon the resurrection, this was also quoted. Verse 10, I believe, therefore have I spoken, I've really afflicted. You go on and on and on. And I'll take the cup of salvation upon the, you know, go on. The presence of the people, precious is the sight of the Lord, is the death of his saints. And on and on. Just. Yeah. So, verse 41. We start reading about betrayed hands of sinners. Verse 42, rise up, let's go. Lo, he that betrayed me is at hand. And immediately while he was yet speaking, cometh Judas. Okay? One of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, and the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Over one man. Look at the crowd. You know, this is a demonic thing. I'm not sure, okay, maybe as a carpenter, but it was not that hefty that he wants to arrest one man. You now came at night, you know, and then you come with that band of people and the chief priests. Imagine they left their office. Everybody left their office and said, we must be there. We must see, you know, this man fully arrested. And he that betrayed him had given him a token saying, whomever I kiss, that is he, take him and lead him away. The way Judas did it was so subtle. The others did not know. And if you observe very well, at the table where everybody was present, at the Garden of Gethsemane, just three. So others were elsewhere. So it's not that he came and said, Jesus, sorry. Sorry. You know, so it's money, you know, I had to pay my school fees. You know, the 12 did not know. It was subtle. But Jesus and Judas knew what was going on. So their usual way of greeting friends was to go around. I mean, that's how they would kiss, you know, themselves. Of course, not in the mouth, but at the side, some of the, you know, the head and all of that. And, you know, he came around. While Proverbs 27 verse 6 says, there is the kisses of a friend. Proverbs 27 6, I hope that's the text. Yes, it should be. Proverbs 27 verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, sorry, the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So, while a friend is one who greets you with kisses, a contrast is when an enemy does it. And so, you have someone come around, all the apostles will not have noticed what he was doing. Two things we also have found, they didn't recognize who Jesus was in the midst of the 12. So when I come there, it's a night, he says, you know that is him. So a lot of things there, they'll be symbolic and come on, mind-boggling. He comes like a friend, but he's there to betray. There are lessons there. You and I must never betray people. Is that clear? You must never betray people. You know, one of the high points of faith is Rahab, who was asked, where are the spies? She said, they have gone. You know, and it's called faith. You can't, there's some things that you can't say you are walking in the faithfulness of God and be a betrayer. And look at what he did. The others did not know. In fact, the way it was written was upon the when he now killed himself. He said, oh, that's the one. And if you observe, this is, of course, by the way, if you look at all the accounts, Jesus had been giving the warnings about Judas the thief, his love for money. It is said that the complaints about who gave that day was Judas. So which means that it didn't just happen suddenly. It's like Peter, take up your cross, follow me. And he said, yeah, Lord, yeah, he was not listening. So he was just boasting, not acting on the word. And he said, I'm going to die. He said, I want to die with you. He said, it will be three times you are going to deny me. He was not listening. So Judas was, he walked into it. No other. He said, but who was going to betray Jesus? Was he prophesied as Judas? You know, he didn't have to be one of the 12. But no doubt, he walked into the devil's plan. What it means is that God can forewarn you, but that's all he can do. Yet, in spite of your unbelief, in spite of your betrayal, the goodness and the greatness of God will prevail over it. So no believer should be afraid of betrayal. The power of God will trump it. If Jesus' resurrection trumped betrayal, the power of God will do the same for you. But the truth is, you and I should not be found doing things like that. Subtle things people do today. They record people's conversations. You know, don't do that. You are a friend. Don't do that. Are you an enemy? Don't let people be comfortable around you, then you have a recorder. You are Judas. You made them feel you are a friend. That is the wisdom of the world. Do you understand? Because they didn't know. He kissed him like a friend. But he came to betray him and to hand him over to those that would destroy him. What if the person had done evil? What if he had done you bad? Well, there is no way you can justify betraying people. Are you getting this? Are you following this? So don't let people know you are not for them. Do you get it? So if they know you are not for them, they won't trust you. But don't let them feel you are for them, then they'll trust you. You know, one of the things Paul writes about the persecution of the ministry, he says, in the hands of false brethren. Don't act Judas. Amen. Amen. Don't do that for people. Don't betray them. Don't kiss someone as a friend and you're an enemy. No, that's demonic. It's the devil that does that. Make a clear distinction. I'm not your friend though. You get it. And it's clear. I'm not your friend. So the person is not talking to you like a friend. Whereas what you are doing is obtaining information to tell others. I've seen people do that. They'll now tell you years after, I was just listening to you. I wanted to hear you very well. Believers! Before you know, they tell you das. Don't let me focus on this. It's for another meeting. At least now you know how to read the four Gospels. So when we get there, I say, yeah. So follow this. As soon as he was come, he goes away to him and said, Master, Master. Look at 45. And he kissed him. They laid their hands on him. You know the other 12 would never have known, 11. They wouldn't know what he was doing. Because Jesus said, I will be betrayed in the hands of sinners. In their minds, it will cross them, because obviously the kissing of Jesus will have been done by many. Don't forget again that they came at night. You know, it's not today that you have street light. Night is night. They don't walk in the night. Because they had bulbs? No. Even where we have bulbs, or we have electricity. If it's not in one portion, if one of the things you do to curb crime is to have light all over the place. So imagine there was no light. So how would you know who came with who? He would just come with the building and he just went straight. You won't know where Judas, you think maybe he's coming from Bible study. Or you think he's coming from children's church. So he just came, everybody just came, master, I missed you. And he did that there. How would you see somebody winking in the night? I said, when you get there, just do like this. They just go. They just arrested him. So they will have wondered, how did they know we were here? There is somebody in the house. You know, if you start the teaching now and say, who is the Judas here? Someone say, he's not teaching New Testament. Why are you afraid? You are the New Testament Judas. New creation Judas. Alright, let's go. One of them that stood by drew his sword, that was Peter. Maybe Mark is not trying to say the name, but others did. Smote his hand of the high priest and cut his ear. And you come as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me. I was daily with you in the temple teaching. You took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled, including Judas. They also ran, yeah. You know, Judas would run with them and say, what's going on there? Oh, who did it? Who did it? Who did it? Boo! That's a boo. And there followed him a certain young man, having a linen cast. There was one brother like that in church. That brother, he went to Lance should know this story very well. Because you should know this story. This brother went to say something that happened around us. And we went there together to talk about it, and we were shaking our heads. And he was, is this coming with you? So I was now thinking that this conversation could not have been heard. I know those of us who are there. Then there's a conversation when we tell ourselves, we know we are four. Oga, if this thing goes out, it's either you or you or you or me. So we agree. So, you would have said, these people. So I sat down. I see how some of these my government collect skills. So I noticed that in the story he gave, he added something to it that didn't happen. And I found out that the reason why he thought that happened was because I was on the phone. So he assumed I was talking to somebody else about something. That was why he gave that account. So I knew whoever said this must have assumed I was talking to somebody else. So I said, I think it's this brother. So I said, remember that day that I was coming down? He said, yes. And I was now talking to this person. That was the person he thought I was talking to. He said, yes. They now finished the sentence for me. That he now said this and this, I said, bro. Bro. And we were there together and you were shaking your head. He said, Pastor, I'm sorry. I said, yeah. All the who you are in Christ. All the in the spirit, by the spirit, for the spirit, for the spirit, as the spirit. You acted like you've never even seen Jesus before, even in a shadow. Because I knew that this guy, whoever said this story, didn't have the correct information. But he said something. So I said, yes. You said, sir. And I said, brother. Amen. Some of you are quiet. I'm speaking by the Holy Ghost. Bro. Sees. I've been saying bro since. Amen. If the most inglorious work on earth by mankind came out of betrayal, betrayal is wrong. It must not be justified. Are you there? And they all forsook him and fled. And there followed him a certain young man, it's believed this is Mark, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body, and the young man laid hold on him. He left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Of course, it's only the person that did this that can write it. It's self-evident. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him was assembled the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him far off, even to the palace of the high priest, and he sat with his servants, and he's still following. Say, follow me. He's still following. And warmed himself at the fire. The chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death and found none. People still do that today. They were looking for, usually the law is 70 witnesses. They were looking for witnesses. What happened was that the witnesses did not agree. Many bore witness against him, but their witnesses did not agree that. This one say, he slapped me. No, he thought, he slapped. Ah. I saw him that day. Yes, I saw him. He said, God is the devil. No, that's not what he said. They arose again, Satan and bore witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I'll build another made without hands. Oga, where did he say this? But neither so did their words agree together. Do you get it? So they couldn't agree, because it has to be out of the mouth of two or three, it must be the same thing. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus. And asked nothing. And said nothing. What is it that this witness against thee? Now, of course, the Jewish culture of martyrdom is that they say nothing. And it's a custom where a person of truth is found. He doesn't say anything. Because it is believed by the Jews that God will vindicate you. So they say nothing. Of course, that is contrary to the world system. If you keep quiet, your body will be quiet with you. You better open your mouth and defend yourself. but when he now said, are you, he asked him again, I think the Luke said, he adjured him. Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Adjure would mean that he put him to oath. At that point, Jesus had to speak. He says, I am, and you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power. And coming in the clouds of heaven. This is the kingdom as prophesied by Daniel. Hallelujah. And you see this in the four gospels. So when he says this, the high priest rent his clothes and what need do we have for that witnesses? So Jesus was crucified for telling the truth. The blessed there is 2 Samuel 7:14, the son of David that will sit on his throne. You have heard the blasphemy, what is he? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. Some began to spit on him to cover his... They were looking for something. To buffet him and to say unto him, prophesy! And the servants did strike him with the palm of their hands. I mean, look at this. This is mass beating. You know, have you ever experienced mass beating before? Me, I have in Body House. But I ran. It was for my birthday. But I've seen mass beating. Where they will focus on one single person. Now, the way this was done, these were soldiers. I mean, mockery. And I'm going back to the Old Testament. And I'm saying, this is what happened to Yahweh. I have to reread it again. And it says here, because Israel in the four Gospels is not different from Israel in the Old Testament. If they didn't recognize Yahweh here, much of the unbelieving lot didn't also in the Old Testament. And verse 66, as Peter was beneath his, there comes one of the maids of the high priest. You know? And when she saw Peter warming, she says, bros. Well, you know Jesus of Nazareth. Peter said, I don't know what you're talking about. He went to the porch and the cockle. And the maid saw him again and said, you laid hands on me, you know. A little after, and then, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agrees. He began to curse and to swear. Basically, it's just to make a oath, a vow. Not vulgar. I know not this man of whom you speak the second time. And then the cock, and then he started to weep. Chapter 15, verse 1. Now, look at that. We've seen betrayal, we've seen denial. We've seen mockery, we've seen rejection. This is the sufferings of Christ, according to the scriptures. That is, If you go back to the Old Testament, you must figuratively read it, that this is how Yahweh was treated in the Old Testament. Hope we're learning something. We should. Verse 1, and straight away, mark and straight away, in the morning, the chief priests and the elders had a consultation, the whole council, and bound Jesus, carried him and delivered him to Pilate, because they can't do anything to him. No, they can't. They don't have such rights. So they knew suddenly that trial they had, obviously, you know, that whatever they did was overnight. You know, it was around 11 p.m. that it was taken, 12 midnight. So it was brought, so this must have taken place around 4 a.m. in the morning. Or about, maybe earlier than that actually, about 2 a.m., 3 a.m. But they knew that whatever they did was illegal. Because judgment was only passed by the Roman government. So they went and delivered him to Pilate. Pilate said, okay, are you the king of the Jews? And he says, thou sayest. Now, I want you to observe something. He's king because he suffered. Go and reread the Old Testament. He reigns because the same people he came to save killed him. And asked him again. Chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Didn't say anything. Asked him again, answer you nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against you. He said nothing. The Pilate marveled. Now the feast, he released unto them one prisoner whom they desired. So it was a symbolic thing. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. That is, insurrection is like rebellion, treason, planning a coup. This is symbolic. Because Jesus will now be seen as somebody raising a rebellion. So it was like, choose between these two. This one planned rebellion, he killed people. This one didn't kill anybody, but he says he's king. And as we are going to see, by saying you are king, you are therefore contesting the authority of Pilate. Do you understand? But the king he's referring to is a king of the Jews as prophesied in scripture. So Pilate now said, okay, we have two. There's one who killed people. There's one who didn't kill anybody, who is king of the Jews already. And the multitude says, no, what do we want? He said, well, will you that release unto you the king of the Jews? For you know that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. He knew they delivered out of envy because he really didn't see anything. He didn't see, I mean, the other guy had killed people. He had bandits. But this one, what does he have? Look at the guy, he has been slapped, he has been beaten, he was just, I am. This one is... So, but anyway, he's out of envy. So it was very clear, out of envy. Look at evil coming together in one accord. The chief priests moved the people that they should rather release Barabbas unto them. Pilate answered and again said, what will you then that I should do unto him which is called the king? They crucify him! Look at what they did. They just went around to talk to people. They took the kind of crowd they wanted there and says, yeah, 1, 2, 3, go. I remember when I was in boarding house, they did this thing about the way we used to eat. We have 10 on the table, so there will be a senior, then like that structure. So you that will serve them, they call you mess boy. So in that way, seniors will enjoy because the guy says, is that my food? And you don't give yourself brain. You serve him everything. So one very zealous house master came and said, he wants us to, that he came from one federal government college. He said, we will queue up. And then we taking food directly from those who make them in the kitchen. So we did it for 2, 3, 4 days. Of course, you know, when you're a junior boy, you are looking forward to that day when you will sit at the table at the head of the table. There's somebody that goes, we should all queue up. So the seniors now came to the junior boys and they look for the guys that can say, oh, no, can you come? You know, we can do this thing for us. Because myself and my colleagues, we told the story again a few weeks ago. And they said, come. I said, on Sunday, we are eating beans. We can't do it for bread. We can't do it for rice. These are key food. But beans. He said, well, now myself, Biodo Owola, Fashola, Utman. That's guys like that. That's we could carry out such things very easily. So you see that the corner of the hall, that so as soon as everybody brings the beans and they'll serve it, that they will just give, and funny enough, the person who taught us was the head of school. That is what you call in your schools, head boy. So and he was my school father. So he knew I could do it. So he said, when he does like this, that we'll just start spraying the beans. So they just, the interesting thing about this plot was that all of us that they told to do it, we didn't tell a soul. I didn't even know that somebody who was in my room, that it was part of the plot. They didn't let us know. So I just knew there was some people by myself, so I just sat down there. So and they said, okay, sorry, Owola was supposed to put up the lights. The housemaster was there, the vice principal, everybody. The guy who was leading the selection was with them. The head of the kitchen, Baba Oyo, he was outside. They said, he was nodding his head. So I saw Owola, the car. So the junior boys also felt that maybe it was just play. So everybody was saying this. But some of us had the duty of stoning the housemaster. I won't tell whether I was part of that or not. I won't mention. So we had planned that the housemaster had this Volkswagen Beetle that he normally drives. Some people had gone to puncture the tire. So he couldn't get. So he was running. He didn't know what. You know, you wouldn't know what was going on. So when the vice principal asked, what's going on? The head of school, my school father, who planned, he said, I think, sir, your meter was his name. I'm mentioning names as a while, so everybody said, actually, sir, I think they just collectively, they don't like this pattern of it. He said, okay, go. Now, when I became a senior, we were going to do something similar, but we didn't throw. They also did something, you know, like that. So I now said that the juniors should, everybody should stay in the dining hall. It was a Wednesday. Stay in the dining hall. Don't go. So the assembly, they said, what's going on? The boarding house students are not here. I said, sir, we don't know. You know, God, my own school father taught me that. So the principal now went and he says, we are told the junior boys what to do. He said, what is God going? Everybody said, no! Everybody said, not the one. No! Not the one. No! So he said, oh no, Ika, what's going on? I said, I think they are just the same. Let's get back here now. So, you know, they got the people to say the same thing in insurrection, in agreement to take Jesus. Then Pilate said to them, why? What evil has he done? And why cried out more exceedingly? That this noise is not ordinary eye. This is an unusual noise. Crucify him. For you know, this is the story of mankind handling God. Then he says, Pilate, willing to content the people, release Barabbas of them and deliver Jesus, whom he had scourged, to be crucified. Soldiers led him into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. You know, notice that Jesus here is silent. This is what Peter meant in 1 Peter 2:21. He doesn't say anything. And it's quite a while. I think from what I can gather, this is for about 6, 7 a.m. through to 3 p.m. I mean, all the beatings, he didn't say anything. Wow. Someone that could command angels. He didn't say anything. And then they clothed him with purple, parted the crown of thorns, put it in his head, began to salute him, Hail, King of Jews. They mocked him, but their mockery was true. They are wondering, how can you be a king and you are this helpless? But in this anti-climax is the story of God. Because they mocked him. How can your God, how can he be King of Jews? They smote him on the head with a reed, spit upon him, bound their knees, worshipped him. They were mocking him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him, put his clothes on him, and led him how to crucify him. Compare one Simon the Cyrenian, that is from Libya, a black man. Has he the black man? in the last days. Can you see the role of the black man? While the others fled, the black man carried the cross. As the days are going, the black man is going to take the emblems of revival around the world. Oh, do you see what I see? The father of Alexander, Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him into the place of Golgotha, which is reinterpreted the place of the skull. And they gave him to drink wine, mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, that is crucified, it means they put nails and parted his garments, casting lot upon them what every man should take. He was without clothes. I know today when we have Jesus on the cross in the pictures, we have a cloth around him. Nope. They took him naked. Because that's how they crucified criminals. This was the third hour, 9 a.m. And they crucified him. The superscription of his accusation was written over him, King of the Jews. And truly he was. With him they crucified two thieves, bandits actually, which is one of the insurrection issues. Right hand on the other left. And the scripture was fulfilled that he was numbered with the transgressors. That's Isaiah 53 verse 12. And they passed by, railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ha! Thou that destroys the temple and builds it in 3 days, save yourself, come down from the cross." They were uttering their own judgment. Because the temple will be destroyed and Jerusalem too. Likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, "He saved others, himself he cannot save." Wow. Did you see that? Did you see that? He healed others. Why is he like this? This is the anticlimax of the power of God. Power that saves yet suffers. And they say here, "Let Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." They were crucified with him, reviled him. And when the sixth hour, that's 12, can you see how, 6 hours, that's 12 noon, was come. There was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. That's 3 p.m. The ninth hour he cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani." This is Aramaic, which is interpreted, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some people mocked him. He's talking, is he calling Elijah? Because he sounds very much alike. And then he says in verse 39, "One ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar." All this is fulfilling scripture. Psalm 69 verse 21 is being fulfilled here. And Psalm 22 verse 7. Let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down. Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. This is judgment. Some have said, no, it means God is leaving the temple, come to deliver. Come on, leave that kind of typology. The temple will be destroyed. And what is the writer saying here? This temple will go. Because the death of Jesus is judgment. And when the centurion stood over him, saw that he so cried and gave up the ghost, he said. Now, the centurion is another Gentile. Can you see something? It's a Gentile. He said, "Truly this is the Son of God." What does that mean to a staff of Caesar? He has pledged his allegiance to Christ and not to Caesar. He's the Son of God. Those that were far off looking again. This is very symbolic and very instructive, sorry. Mary Magdalene made the mother of Jesus and of Joseph and of Salome. Also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. This is important. Because in such a society that is chauvinistic and placed women as secondary, he's saying those that stood were women. The men fled. The gospel of Jesus is inclusive. It's gender friendly. Neither male nor female. But in this case, it's actually female. "Now even when the evening was come, because it was a preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea," normally they leave them there, an honorable counselor which also waited for the kingdom of God came and went in boldly unto Pilate. A big boy, a rich man, craved the body of Jesus. Pilate marveled if he had already been dead. And, oh, quickly, how did this guy die quickly? Because it is said that it normally took days. Now let's see some symbolic things. The king is dead. Yet, the king is alive. Darkness is seen as judgment. Exodus 10, 21 to 23 in Egypt. Isaiah 13, verse 10. Ezekiel 32, verse 7. Joel 2, 2. Darkness is judgment. So even the earth that was created by God responded. Watch this. The marvel that he had been dead, calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been while dead. And when he knew it of the body, gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of a rock and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulcher. Once again, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. This is significant that the women were the ones that showed loyalty and fidelity to the Messiah. Chapter 16, verse 1. In case you missed it earlier, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, had brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Why would they anoint him? Don't forget the woman who anointed him for his burial. I remember having to talk to a lecturer of mine in school, a professor of law, that said that the Bible is anti-women. I said no. It was the only time I answered a question in our class, women and the law. I raised my hand, I said, you're wrong, ma. And this was one of the things I cited, that the events were deliberately written to make us see that women are a critical fact of the gospel. Some, I don't know why Paul doesn't say much of it in 1 Corinthians 15. We'll probably explore that as the days go on. And it says, very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre, the rising of the sun. There was darkness, hallelujah, there is now the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us the stone away to the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, and it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed with a long white garment, and they were frightened. And they said unto them, be not frightened, you see Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified, he is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you unto Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. So 3 p.m. he died, just before the Sabbath. Symbolic. We will enter into his rest because he died. This is not just written for you to bypass it. Within the rejection of the king is his kingdom. He establishes his kingdom through his sufferings. And the gospel also advances today as we bear the marks of Jesus. In the contradictions we preach to the men that have rejected him, and faith will be birthed. Let's go on. So Mark's account ends abruptly. They were afraid. Many things surround that. One, maybe he quickly ended it. Two, it's also predicted that maybe he was arrested. It's written in Rome, don't forget. As we close, we see again an anticlimax. He starts quickly. He rushes into John the Baptist, skips all the incarnation story. Then again he ends quickly. But not without the fact that he was risen. He was not at the sepulchre, just like he said. And so we have, why, what's left? Much more. And from verse 9 to 20, we have what we can call the addendum. It was added to it by others. It ends quickly, it starts quickly, ends quickly. Which means that somehow, some believe that the end, the last part where maybe they got missing, but it's not true. It's actually the fact that this is why it ended. Which means that something happened. Either he was stopped, or he stopped, or he was arrested and then killed. But the story has been written. A fact about the fulfillment of scripture right before our eyes. And so those who wrote the addendum, let us see what is in the mind of the four gospels. And when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, a new creation has been born. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast out seven devils. The demon is out. Christ has come. She went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked. That is Emmaus, right? Luke 24. And went into the country. They went and told it to the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at meat. Watch that again. And upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. Baptized how? Hey, baptized into his death, his burial, and resurrection. For Jesus himself had already showed us that John's baptism was not a continuation. It was symbolic, a righteousness fulfillment of what will happen that has just happened. So what are you baptized into? You are baptized into what has just happened to him. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Well, you can't miss casting out of devils in Mark at all. The signs of the gospel will therefore be found a lot in Isaiah. Isaiah 35 verse 5 to 6. We read that earlier. They shall take up serpents. They shall drink any deadly thing. It shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So read back the book of Mark. So all the miracles are signs of the resurrection. And they will, afterwards the resurrection, remain signs of the resurrection. They are not the end. Miracles are signs. They are a means, a signpost to see something else. It includes tongues. Because Isaiah 28 verse 11 and 12 equally includes tongues. And the book of Acts teaches tongues. And of course, the Pauline epistles. So, critically, verse 19, we close from here. It says, so after the Lord has spoken to them, this was 40 days, he was received up into heaven. Now watch this. And sat down on the right hand of God. No writer of the synoptic thinks what believes that what you think they are saying is that they now saw him seated somewhere. No. Right hand means a place of glory, honor amongst men. The display of God's power amongst men. What is he saying? He remains with us as the demonstration of God's glory, power, and grace in the earth. Just like Mark 14:62, you will see the Son of Man coming with power in the clouds. This has happened. Mark is telling you. And verse 19 is the entire book of Acts. And they went forth and preached everywhere. Why? Because Jesus is seated. The Lord walking with them, seated, alright? And confirming the word with what? Signs. Signs before and signs after. But none of the signs is the message. They are all signposts. Small pictures of what? The bigger picture. The small pictures. Oh, blind eyes are open. The dead is raised. Death fears are stopped. Wow. When all that happens, we know Christ is risen. But the bigger picture, we are seated together with Jesus. And someday, we will have bodies that are fully formed and fully whole. This is why Mark wrote the gospel. And when I read Mark, I go back and read it again. And it teaches me to go back to the Old Testament
and read it all over again.
Mark 4:24. Take heed what you hear, that you hear. Read it so that you might understand. Hallelujah. We're blessed. Let's stand to our feet. Let's just leave.